This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we talk with martial arts practitioners about their histories and the influence their practice of martial arts has on their lives. You are listening to the free version of this podcast, which is abbreviated. Help support this program by considering to subscribe to us on Patreon and access the full-length version of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcasts, all for the price of one coffee shop coffee per month. Go to www.patreon.com/malmag. That's www.patreon.com/malmag. This week, I talked to actor Jordan Bridges as we sit down in lovely Glen Alla Park in Marina Del Rey, California. We talk about his history in the martial arts and projects in the acting with his family and much more. Sit back and enjoy. Okay, everybody, welcome to the Martial Art Lifestyle Podcast. And today I've got one of my good friends here. His name is Jordan Bridges. And he's one of these martial artists that juggles a little professional career and family man career and maybe some other things. We're going to find that all out. I'm sure you've seen Jordan before if you've watched the show Rizzoli and Isles, or if you've seen any of the CSI or Law and Orders. He appears in several episodes of those kinds of things. And you've been around since actually the early 80s, as I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're... Well, again, we don't talk about actors' ages, but...
It does date me a little bit, man.
Well, you know, you were a fetus.
I was, yeah. I think my... I got my union card when I think I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And a show that my father directed. And, you know, and it kind of segues, though.
Yeah.
Because for me... the entertainment business, movies, television has been kind of finely woven with my passion and love of martial arts for as long as I can remember. And going back to when I was about five or six, there were every Sunday on KTLA 5, they would run Golden Harvest films.
Ooh.
For like 5-6 hours. So, like, films, this wasn't a Golden Harvest, but one of my favorites from that era was Master of the Flying Guillotine.
Ooh.
And The One-Armed Man. And so my brother and I used to just post up and watch those films, and then we would make our own little video films. Of course, neither of us had done any kind of training or anything
right.
like that at that point.
Well, what's that stopping a kid? I was the same way.
That's not stopping us. Didn't stop us. And so it's like for me, it's been this kind of real interesting interplay between film and then of course there was Kung Fu, the television with David
show.
Carradine,
and,
that was based on a treatment from Si Gong Lee. But yeah, so I was obsessed with Bruce Lee when I was a kid. I loved his everything about him. Yeah. But yeah,
Kung Fu Theater. Do you see that? Remember that Kung Fu Theater on TNT, or I think it was TNT or WTBS?
Yes.
Cable.
Yeah.
Sundays.
Sure. Sure. That was part of it transitioned from. From the KTLA 5.
Yeah, they showed all those the Golden Harvest and Shaw Brothers and all that stuff.
All that stuff. And so it was kind of, and the interesting thing was that, so I loved all that Chinese stuff, and I wanted to, that's what I wanted to learn. But I lived in the valley here in Los Angeles, and the only thing going was Taekwondo. You could find a little bit of karate, and love that and have huge respect for that art, but it just wasn't for me.
Couldn't find a Cobra Kai school in the valley?
Couldn't find Cobra Kai. Couldn't find, you know, and the Pat Morita, the funny thing about Mr. Morita, I went to high school with his daughter. He didn't know any karate.
Oh, no. I think Demura Sensei did all the stand-ins for him. And even Guru Dan has a great Pat Morita story, actually.
Yeah, but a wonderful actor. So I couldn't... I tried a little... I think, like, you know, did, like, a week of like, a, you know, karate school with the belts and the kias and all that, and it just wasn't... It didn't feel right. That's not what Bruce Lee was doing.
Mm.
And so then it was like, unlike a lot of kids who and I think a lot of the more skilled people who you work with, they started very young. They started at 4, 5, 6. I didn't really start my commitment to practice and training until I was in my early 20s. I was out of college, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, it's never too late to start, I guess, as we always say. And it's fascinating when you find the ages that people do start. If you think about it, I think Bruce Lee was 13. Or 14 or so. I mean, he probably studied a little bit with his dad, but I think he got serious in his
with
the
man
years.
And all that. Yeah,
and even Guru Dan and Asanto, really, it was after college, you know, when he joined the military. That's when he got serious about it. Now he's a world class athlete before, and yes, has had uncles and a father who taught him a little this and that. But you know, his seriousness about it also in his 20s.
Yeah. So there you go. So maybe I was wrong about. I mean, I think that who was it? Ernie Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a child phenom.
Oh,
Ernest Jr. So that's maybe kind of what put that thought in my head is that you got to start young, or you think of the prodigies, any sport, you know, these people who show their talent really young. But that doesn't mean anything. I think it's however you come to it.
Right.
You know, another thing, I'm just going to kind of like riff and go as the stuff occurs to me.
It's your show, buddy.
Well, it's your show, and I'm glad to be here.
It's my show, but it's your episode.
Another thing that part of my journey, my serious training, like I said, started after college. I found a great teacher named Buck Som Kong. Who is in the Hungar lineage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And he has a school called Silampai. And I started training with him. And what's wonderful about his school, and I think most of the Hungar systems, is it's very traditional. It's basically student teacher. There's no belts, there's no rankings. It's just you're either a student or you're a teacher.
Right.
There's Si Hings, there's people who are senior students, but...
Right. That's very Chinese.
Yeah, very Chinese.
This belt system, I actually got an article on the Malmeg website about the history of belts, and the belts is a Japanese thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Q and Dan, right? And these were academic rankings and sport-type rankings.
Mm.
And Dr. Kano took that and applied it to judo.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there on out, you know, other Japanese systems adopted it. Then, karate, and then, it became such a standard since those were the things that were most popular in the United States first. And then that just spread out. And so other martial arts started taking on that type of structure. But
and did they have the color system in Japan, or was that like a U.S. thing?
Definitely later. That's definitely sort of an American and Korean, I think.
Yeah.
Initially was doing that a bit more because even
it's flashy. It looks interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's exciting.
It steps, right?
Yeah. But that was another thing too, and also having observed, like I had friends who trained in TKD and it was the testing. It was this high stress, pressure situation. And that kind of like, I was like, I don't want a part of that. I wasn't into that. So that's why I was like, I was really thrilled when I found Sifu Buck Som Kong and huge traditionalist. This was a guy, he would say, okay, sit in horse stance. I'm gonna go have a cigarette now. When I come back, you can stand up again.
Old school. Pastor, I'm gonna smoke while you.
I'm gonna smoke, and he quit. Thankfully, he's since quit. But very traditional guy, and also bone setter and a healer. So I kind of because that system is in the tradition of Wong Fei Hung, who, if you've seen the movie Once Upon a Time in China, that's who that is. And one of the cool things about maybe 5 years into my training with him, I moved back to New York. And I wanted to keep with the Hungar system. But I did, and there's a school there under Frank Yi. But it's a split lineage. So they both, my teacher, Buck Som Kong, and Frank Yi, both learned from Lam Cho, who was Wong Fei Hung's student. But then there was a, or no, Frank Yee's teacher was a different guy than Lem Cho. So it was a different lineage. So had, it's the same foundation. Mm-hmm. Both of them are very grounded. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stance work, a lot of, you know, we learn sort of, you know, there's a lot of drilling, a lot of strengthening your bones. The hits are hard. Mm-hmm. But the order of when you learn things was different.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
did it seem like certain, the same art? I mean, you could.
It is the same art. You recognize. Okay. So if I was like, okay, this is familiar. Mm-hmm. This is, I know this horse stance. This is a Hungar horse stance. And this is the same cat stance. This is the same techniques. So the techniques were the same, but the order of when, which forms you learned was different. So, you know, Buck Sam Kong would start with what he called the low gar, which is a very basic, you know, kind of beginning form. But in Frank Yee, I think they started with the Sumu Farquhan, which is like a two-person set. And they just had different, a little bit different kind of focus, I guess. Mm-hmm. Different ways of learning the same, getting to the same place. So that kind of, in this, one of the things that brings you and I together is I met you at Inosanto Academy.
Right, right.
And that was another thing that I...
Yeah, so how that...
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
In New York, now you're back to L.A.
Now
so
I come back to L.A.
You're back and forth guy.
I'm a bicoastal.
Yeah, where'd you originally... Were you born here?
Born here in Los Angeles, okay. Yeah. And then I went to school in upstate New York,
right.
Bard College, and then... And then I was a couple years in the city, in New York City, moved back here probably around late 90s, mm-hmm. back in Los Angeles, and that's when I hooked up with Sifu Kong, and then back to New York in the early aughts. And then...
this all makes sense, folks. You might not realize what family this guy comes from, and I think once you realize that, it'll make sense why he's... popping back and forth between here, so you might want to let him know who you're.
Yeah, well, you can, as I like to say, Google me. Right. But yeah,
we
no,
all say that. Some,
but
people,
actually,
some people say no, don't. Google.
No, that's okay. Well, here's the thing, and this actually, it's a good segue, and I think relates to our discussion in general about martial arts. So lineage is a very important thing in martial arts. It's
right,
good to
yeah.
know where your art comes from. Who your teacher learned from, it helps right. you give, have you, you know, you have context, you kind of know how you were brought to this system. So that's also true for me in my profession and my craft. I'm an actor and I have a lineage. So my father is Beau Bridges.
But you look like, I mean, when you meet this guy and he tells you that, you go, oh God, yeah, I can tell that.
The genes run strong in my family. They are strong Levi jeans. My uncle's Jeff and my grandfather's Lloyd. And, you know, I learned from my father. He learned from his father. And both of my grandmother and my grandfather were both actors. And they learned from a man named Michael Chekhov, who was a part of the Moscow Arts Theater where Stanislavski taught. Michael Chekhov and... Boleslavsky were responsible for bringing the method to the United States of America. So it's a similar thing when you talk about, you know, acting lineage mm-hmm. And dynasty and all of that, and then martial arts lineage and dynasty. The other day in class, actually, Guru Dan, he kind of embarrassed me when he used me as a way of talking about lineage in a different context.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's my people.
That's where I come from. Yeah, and I mean, a quick shout out if you guys have not seen that show, The Old Man That His Uncle's In. You actually, and I didn't know you were in it with him. I remember you were talking to me about a project he was doing that was going to have some martial arts in it. But then I'm watching it with my wife one night. We were actually house sitting for someone. We were watching Bo, and I'm looking, oh my God, it's Jordan. He's got a scene right here. You're like the financial advisor to the Dan Chase character.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's your uncle in real life.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal, great scene. That must have been fun to finally do something
so
like that.
So much fun, and I'm so grateful to the creators of the show for inviting me to be a part of it. I hope it comes around again for me, because I had so much fun. It's just a great cast.
Yeah.
You know, that's another interesting kind of martial arts thing. I can always kind of, I connect with other, and I, it's hard for me to claim myself as a martial artist. I like to think of myself as a martial arts enthusiast.
In the end, we probably are all pretty much that.
Yeah, but
a few exceptions, I guess, you know.
You know, but I can usually spot people who train and practice. You can just see by the way they carry themselves.
Right.
And Benga, who was also on The Old Man, he plays the assassin who's chasing him down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who's a long-term wrestler.
Oh.
And jiu-jitsu guy, and we had worked together years ago.
Oh, wow.
And our whole, when this was on part of another kind of Dick Wolf show in, back in New York, and we had like, it was kind of a bottleneck episode, so the whole thing, his character had hijacked a courtroom, and the whole episode takes place in this courtroom, and we're sort of, and he's like, the cops want to come in and arrest him, and he has everyone, he's holding us all hostage. And he was great, and so we were just there a lot,
right.
just sitting around. And the whole time we're rapping about martial arts. Like that was the whole time we're just rapping about martial arts and comparing notes and stuff. And I love that about the community and the family, the sense of family that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on this show, Rizzoli and Niles, we had 7 seasons. And what was great is a lot of the stunts people who came through actually ended up being...
Inosanto people.
And so that's, you know, there's a lot of stunts people come through the academy, and also a lot of law enforcement. You have a lot of law enforcement. You have a lot of, you know, military people who are in and out of the service. So going back to chronology, timeline.
So you're back
timeline.
To LA.
Back to LA, and you know, I had been at that point, I think I had been in kind of training in Angar in those two different lineages collectively for about 10 years. Really loved that sort of traditional way of learning and training. And I also was looking for a place for my kids to start training, because when we first moved, you know, they were like 1 and 3, but then a couple years in, they were getting older. I had done about a year with Sifu Eric Orem before coming to Inosanto. He, you know, doing Wing Chun, he was great. But then we kind of moved a little bit further away from him, so it wasn't as convenient. And now we're
for the folks that don't live in LA, that could be just a couple of miles, 3, 4, 5 miles could end up being.
It makes a world of difference.
Depending on the time of day.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking at what used to be a 5-minute commute is now like, you know, a 45 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we had moved to Marina Del Rey, and I was. Like maybe a couple weeks after we'd moved there, I'm in the Ralphs there, and I see a couple of Inosanto Academy students. They've got their, you know, shirts on, and I was like, oh, hey, you know, I'm standing in line behind them at checkout.
Yeah.
I'm like, so how's the training? And I think it was Dana, Sifu Dana, who's someone we both know. And,
Who we'll have on the show.
One of my favorite teachers there, And she kind of looked at me, and sort of with this like wry smile, was like, "Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good." And so this kind of brings us full circle, because, you know, flashback to like, you know, Sundays on KTLA 5 watching these Golden Harvest, you know, amazing kung fu action, and Bruce Lee, watching Bruce Lee films, watching Enter the Dragon and all of it. And that's what I wanted to do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I go home and I Google Inosanto Academy. Right. I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's right there.
It's right there. Yeah. This is the stuff I've been looking for my whole life. And so I was, and what's interesting, I was really keen on like, I want to get into the Jeet Kune Do. That's what I want to do. And so for the first like year or so of that, I was kind of like saying, going to those late classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
So you started with Yori initially then, yeah?
A little, well, at the academy, at the academy, but yeah, yes, he was there. I think he was there. And I think maybe even sometimes Atticus was doing Mondays or, and then partly because it was just late, those classes are all really late.
Yes, they're always evening. Yeah.
and I got my kids and everything. And then my son Orson started taking the Little Dragons class. Mm-hmm. And so it just sort of made sense for me to move into the Filipino martial arts and the sticks. And so that's kind of where I focused. My sort of energy went back to that for a number of years. And so that was like, then that takes us, and then we around 2010, we moved to Topanga. And so I kind of was like, I couldn't justify that commute. It was pretty gnarly. Yeah,
not physically far. If you folks look on a map,
yeah, but as the crow flies,
basically two ways to go, and one's down PCH and the other's through the valley.
And depending on time of day, it's rough. And so then I worked with JJ Machado in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about a year because he was just kind of, I just dropped down in the valley and he was right there. And then back to the academy, and my son, you know, did about 3-4 years.
Yeah, I remember.
In Little Dragons, and.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast. Please remember to hit the like button and subscribe here to the YouTube channel. Please consider supporting the program by going to patreon.com/malmag and subscribing for access to the full-length podcasts. Again, that is www.patreon/malmag.
Thank you for listening to the episode with Jordan Bridges. Coming up next week, I have a talk with martial artist, personal trainer, and even philosopher Mike Yuski.
Check out the Malmag store at www.martialartslifestylemagazine.com and click on the store tab. There you'll find a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA, some Timmy B's brand shirts, and some very sharp-looking Dos Manos shirts.
This show is produced by Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine. Visit us at martialartslifestylemagazine.com.
Music by Jack Hal Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.